Welcome to the podcast of St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith where our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ.
And welcome to the St. Andrew's podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us. We've been having so much fun during this month of May as we wrapped up some podcasts about the resurrection. I know we had a lot of fun doing those. Hope you had fun listening to them as well. And then last week we had some moms in our studio with us, and boy, it was fun to hear their advice and the challenges and the rewards of motherhood and as we celebrated our moms. So that was great fun. And today, also, as we face the month of May and the end of May, we are looking at the time when students are facing graduation. And in studio with me today, I have, again, our senior pastor, D.A. Bennett. And how are you today?
Stephanie, I'm doing great. It is such a beautiful day. What, yes. There's something about us recording podcasts that helps the weather.
Yes, so, it does. We need to do it more often.
Wherever people are listening, I hope they're having as beautiful weather as we're having today.
I hope that they are too. Well, and D.A., I'm really excited to visit with you about this topic about graduates, because this is such a important time in people's lives. As they come to the end of a chapter, they start a new chapter. It could be high school graduating and going on to college, but there's also just other milestones in life that we deal with in graduations. But I know today we're really going to be focusing on high school graduates, things like how this transition affects them, because they're going through a lot of change. We're also going to look at how it affects the family, particularly the parents, as they're going through a big change in their life as well. And then, really importantly, how it affects the discipleship of the student. And you have such great experience. I hope you'll tell us a little bit about your experience with this age group.
Right, and thank you. I hope my experience is still valid. I think it is. For those of you that are listening that don't know, I did campus ministry for 12 years, and so a lot of my experience comes from that, but I also have a son who's graduated from high school and what we've experienced there. When we think about changes in the family for graduates, one of the things I think of people immediately go to is the idea that students are suddenly, most of them are moving away, whether they're joining the military or they're taking a job and want to, you know, try life on their own or moving into a dorm.
Yeah.
They're moving away. And as parents, one of the things I learned was no one prepares you for what it's like when that first child is born.
Yeah.
And no one really prepares you for what it's like when that first child leaves home.
I'm sure.
And so years ago, I had heard that there were two things that parents need to give their kids, and both are vitally important. The first is roots. That while the student may move out of the house, they do need to be grounded somewhere. Even if the students can't wait to get out of the house, because some students are like, I'm ready to set the world on fire.
Right.
There's still that longing within them that they need a home base to go to.
Yeah.
That could be a physical place, but I think mostly it has to do with relationships. There was an old thing in ministry that when your son or daughter graduates, that's a good time for a pastor to move. And as a campus minister, I always told superintendents, that's a horrible time to move.
Right.
Because now that student has to decide, do I go see my mom and dad or do I go see my friends? Because they can't really go home, per se.
Right.
So one thing we do want to give them is that foundation and those roots. But the other thing we want to give our children are wings. And post-high school years can be their time to begin to fly.
Yeah.
They leave the nest. They begin to take on the world. Increasingly, there are some students that commute to college, but they still want the freedom, even though they live at home, that their friends might have if they live in the dormitory.
That's so good. I love the roots and wings. That's really powerful. So what are some changes that graduates experience in their home church as they're making this transition?
The really big challenge for churches and for graduates have different dynamics, but it's there on both sides. What the church has tried to do over that student's experience in a church is they've have tried to provide some of those roots. Hopefully, between family and family of faith, we've laid that foundation in their lives, mm-hmm. that no matter how hard their faith may be challenged in, you know, this time of transition, that it's built on that sure foundation, that they have strong, rock-solid, yeah. deep roots. But mom and dad don't typically force you to go to church anymore.
Right.
They want you to spread your wings and fly. They want you to go to church because you understand the value and the importance, yeah. of being part of a community of faith. And so they may not be there to make you get up. If you're at college, mom and dad aren't probably calling
knocking
you
on your
and
door. Yep.
saying, hey, let's go to church. And they begin to respect the fact that you're entering a new phase as a mm-hmm. late teenager of young adulthood.
Right.
And so they're going to try to respect the decisions you make, whether they agree with them or not. They'll, yeah. I think most parents try to respect those.
Yeah.
But the hard part of the church is that most churches don't do college ministry.
Mm-hmm.
They may be strong in children's ministry. They may be strong in youth ministry.
Right.
But college students can be so mobile that having consistent, strong ministry is
right.
a challenge. The situation I think of is you may have a younger couple in the church and, mm-hmm. you know, they think, hey, we would love to lead a college ministry. College was so
right.
important in our faith. And so you get them to start a small group or they start a Sunday school class or
yeah.
or do something. And that first week, you know, wow, 8, 10, you know, 15 people
right.
show up and it's all exciting. And then the next week, only one of those students come back.
Right.
And the leaders are thinking, gosh, what did we did wrong?
Yeah.
And that one student that comes back is like, I don't know where everybody is. I guess everybody's working or playing softball or doing something.
Right.
It's just that generation is mobile. And so the mm-hmm. consistency of a core group is tough to come by.
Yeah.
And so in other churches, and I think this is typically true in smaller churches,
mm-hmm.
these students, even though they're entering young adulthood, don't really fit with young adults
right.
or young married.
Right.
Those people are starting their careers or maybe
yeah.
even a family.
Stage of life.
College students don't typically want to go to youth group anymore.
Right.
They don't want to be in there with junior high students. God bless junior high students. And so what happens is the churches, we say, no, we want you to come. We want you to come. But a lot of times we have to be honest and say the most reliable thing we can provide for them is a Sunday morning worship experience that is geared
yeah.
to the whole community of faith and not just to college students. And
yeah.
if they've grown up like they have here at St. Andrews, where Wednesday night there's a worship
yeah.
just for youth, they don't have that anymore.
Mm-hmm,
And so they feel like if I come, I have to come alone. And maybe mm-hmm. they begin to look around for a church where there are more people their age.
Right.
It's just a big challenge for them because they need that peer influence and community.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of churches that really have a passion for mm-hmm. that, somehow it's just a tough thing to come by.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. So we can agree that a church ministering to college students has a unique set of challenges, but if students have strong family relationships, then how can the families encourage their students to continue along this discipleship pathway?
Yeah, great question. We never stop being parents, I don't think.
Right, I agree.
And, you know, for our adult children or even our college-age children,
mm-hmm.
we still want to be mom and dad. We still want to have those roots. Yeah. And at the same time, we don't want to clip their wings.
Right.
We want them to be able to soar.
Yeah.
And so in my experience, most all high school graduates, whether they're going to college,
mm-hmm.
Whether they're joining the military, maybe they're going to work for a while because some students do have to
yeah.
work to save money to go to college.
Yeah.
No matter what their circumstances, they have a common need,
mm-hmm.
and that need is to be a part of community,
true.
To have relationships that are going to help strengthen their life, to add value to their life.
Mm-hmm.
Students, when they go to college, typically find this in a number of different places.
Right.
You know, of course, my desire as a campus minister was they'd always come and they'd find that community in the campus ministry.
Right.
A lot of students find it in the Greek system, either by being in a fraternity or a sorority.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a professional club that their particular area of study has.
Right.
And then there are all those extracurricular kind of groups like athletics or performing
mm-hmm.
arts or student government. So there's a number of places community happens.
Right.
But the unique thing about campus ministry is it's the only one that's really going to encourage their spiritual growth.
Yes.
So college is that time, and I remember a student I had. He was president of student senate in Ada at East Central.
Yeah.
And he got involved with us his senior year. He was in a fraternity. He was on the tennis team.
Wow.
And we had a night for high school seniors. He said, look, I have had a great time in college. This is all the stuff I've done. It's all great. But nothing helped my faith like being involved in this ministry.
Wow.
And he would encourage him, do those things, but whatever you're doing when you go to college, connect to a campus ministry.
Oh, that's good.
And so when visiting a college, if you know you're moving your children into the dormitory, always encourage parents, find out what campus ministries are there.
Yeah.
And don't just say to your child, hey, I hope you go to the Wesley Foundation.
No, right.
In your visit, take the time to go by the Wesley Foundation. You can set up an appointment with the director or in some places their staff.
Yeah.
Let them see the building. Let them be familiar, because none of us like walking into a big building where everybody knows everybody,
but nobody knows me.
And then, you know, you just do what you can to encourage your children, but then you pray that they find their way into a community of faith.
Well, and the great thing, too, about the Methodist system, the way that it works, is that we're so connected to one another that, you know, DA knows the campus ministers across the state of Oklahoma.
Right.
And so the great thing is, if you're listening and you're a member of St. Andrews, call DA up and say, how can I make an appointment? Who do I need to talk to? Or if you're not a part of our church, you're part of another church, make sure you talk to your pastor, because they'll help to connect all those dots for you.
Right. And I think most campus ministers, I mean, obviously as United Methodists, we wanted all the United Methodists to come to our campus ministry. But we knew there were some of them that really the friends that they made weren't part of our ministry. And so it's go somewhere. Go to find some ministry and connect with them, because whatever is going to nurture your faith and your relationship with Christ is what we wanted to encourage.
Yeah, that's so good. And I love, too, the fact that you point out that we need to do that in community, because that's important no matter what our situation as life is. We need that sense of community. But there's some unique challenges that students are going to face over these next years of their lives. So what would parents want to know so that they are not surprised if their child experiences this difficulty?
Oh, gosh, yes. I hope every parent that hears that question is thinking, was there some crisis? Was there something that I dealt with in life where I needed mom and dad, or I needed an adult to help guide the way? And again, not all the students will go to college, but they are all trying to forge their identity.
Yes.
The community they have a part of will help them to forge their identity. Some may go to college, it doesn't work, so they get a job, they join the military, and then they may go to college. They may change their majors a few times. Very few students actually enter saying, hey, I'm going to study, you know, biology, and then they walk out with a degree in music. And so it can be frustrating to parents if your child is constantly switching their majors, and then after 4 years are no closer to graduation than they were after the third year. And one of the recent experiences I had was I went to the baseball banquet for my son, and of course high school sports banquets are basically for celebrating and recognizing seniors. And I understand that. So in 3 years, we'll get to do that. And one of the things they do is they'll say, well, you know, here's who this person is, and this is where they're going to go to college, and this is what they're going to do. And that particular banquet, very few of the seniors, and there were, I don't know, eight of them perhaps that were there. Very few of them really had a specific plan for what they were doing when they were graduating. And so to parents, I would want to say, if your student does not have a particular plan, that's common. I know it can be unnerving. I know it can be frustrating. But it is very common, because, you know, they're still teenagers.
Right.
They're entering young adulthood, but they're still teenagers.
Yeah.
The students who know exactly what they want to do, they may suddenly choose a different path. They may say, you know what? I don't need that degree in engineering. I want to be a school teacher. I'm not going to take the MCAT. I want to be a professional photographer. I mean, in that community, they're finding their identity. And in the meantime, what your student is going to feel, mom and dad, hear me clearly. As a parent, you're thinking, why can't you just pick a major and go and get a career and get married and give me grandchildren.
Right. You know, yep, exactly.
Whatever it is to do.
Yep.
And even if you don't say it, I think our children know that.
Mm-hmm.
And so increasingly, these students feel overwhelming pressure to mm-hmm. make their parents proud and happy. They
yeah.
feel pressure to be as ambitious as some of their peers and as yeah. determined and clear as some of their peers are.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them will feel pressure from a professor that's mm-hmm. going to encourage them. You know, you're really good at this. You need to
yeah.
do this. And anytime they feel that kind of pressure, as with any person, we feel like we have to surrender to the pressure.
That's true.
The only way that we can get rid of the pressure is just to surrender to
mm-hmm.
it. I would say that struggle that the student is dealing with can be a positive thing mm-hmm. in some sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that sense is whenever the struggle for our identity, and again, that's what we're talking about, finding our identity in the midst of community.
Yeah.
When we begin to determine our identity, what it does is it draws us to a vocation.
Mm-hmm.
Vocation is not a degree plan. It's not a career path, but vocation is the sense that God has uniquely called us to serve and glorify Him
mm.
through the work we're going to do. Vocation brings us a sense of our purpose in life.
Mm.
And so while students are forging their identities, they are listening and discerning for that vocation, for their calling. And in some cases, it leads them to a job that gives them an opportunity to serve Christ in some way.
Oh, it's so good. Wow. I love that idea of vocation because it really helps you to project even further forward. It's not just about the next few years. It's not just about your 10-year plan. It really is about your life's calling.
Right. And frequently, when I would have students that were kind of in that, gosh, this is mm-hmm. what I've been majoring in for 3 years, and I don't want to do this the rest of my life.
Yeah.
One of the things I would do is encourage them, just finish your degree.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
In most cases, what people want to know in the job place is, can you finish what you started?
Right, so. Right. That's so important, too. So very interesting. So tell us a little bit about maybe this thing that probably all parents are freaked out about,
mm-hmm.
and that is that what happens if my student strays from their faith?
Right. What if they get that horrible professor who is an atheist and doesn't
right.
believe in God and,
yeah.
and my student loses their faith?
Mm.
You know, this parable that Jesus tells of the prodigal son
mm.
is very helpful.
Yeah.
And one of the things that is very common is what I refer to as the year of discontent. We had a young man come and do some ministry in our campus ministry. He was a songwriter, singer, and he talked about how when he was in college, he was always strong in his faith, and then suddenly one day he wakes up and he's not clearing his identity,
mm.
and he just decides he's going to be the prodigal.
Oh.
And he said, mm-hmm. I lived that way for about a year, and I was so miserable. I understood that God really does love me and call me back.
Mm.
And he said, so I had my year of discontent, and I've never mm-hmm. forgotten that phrase. I continue to understand that. And when I had students that suddenly just something changed in their life,
yeah.
I understood they're going through something in their life that there's a restlessness, there's a questioning.
Mm-hmm.
And so the best thing we can do as this community they've been a part of while in college
yeah.
is to help them know that they are still loved.
Yes.
That God accepts them back. We had students that were very active, and then they left, and they didn't want to talk to anybody. And before they graduated, they would come back.
Wow.
And they would say, this was, of all the things I did, this was the only place where people loved me.
Wow.
And so mom and dad, you know, that's the hardest thing. If we see our kids walk away from faith, the prodigal came home, and that's
right.
what we begin to pray for, is that even though our child may have seemed to give up on the church or
yeah.
on God, God never gives up on us.
I love that, too. And I love your encouragement for parents to pray for their students. You know, I think that's one of the ways that we as parents help to provide the lift under their wings as they
right.
fly, is that we pray for them every day, and God continues to guide them. And I do like, too, the idea that, you know, as your kids are becoming adults, I don't have adult children myself. I have, you know, 11 and 12-year-old
right.
children. But when I look back on when I took this step and this transition with my own parents, one of the things I really appreciated about them was that they were always there when I had the tough questions. And they were willing to say, you know, I don't really know the answer to that, but let's find it together. Let's do it together. Let's not stop.
Right.
Let's keep going on this discipleship journey together. And just reminding your kids that you'll still be there, even when they have the tough questions. And
those roots.
Yeah.
You know, that is so vital. We need the roots. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, again, when a student goes, you know, those students that are going to the military, mm-hmm. they need community.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure boot camp, you know, gives them very few liberties that, because they're trying to forge community among soldiers and sailors and airmen and women.
Yeah.
And so I think one of the things that, again, no matter what this student is doing, and if you're a high school graduate and you're listening to this, mm-hmm. one of the things I would say is your faith is going to be challenged, and that's okay.
Right.
Your faith needs to be challenged.
Yes.
It's not fun. Mm-mm. We start, and a challenge to our faith is more than temptation to commit a sin.
Right.
But if our family and if our family of faith has really laid that foundation of faith in our life, that foundation will be challenged.
Yes.
And the thing that I would encourage you to consider is sometimes people smarter than you that know how to debate, know how to argue, and, you know, believe differently from you, they can sound very convincing.
Yeah.
Don't ever take any stone out of your foundation unless you find a better, stronger stone to put in it.
That's
that was some advice one of my seminary professors said. He said, your faith is really going to be challenged while you're in seminary. Don't take any stone out of your foundation until you find another one that's better to put in its place. So, you know, I think that's kind of where we are today. They're looking for community.
Yes.
They're looking for identity. And,
yes.
and I think there's some more stuff in next week that we can talk about with this.
Yes, I agree too. So next week we'll be visiting some more about what students can be expecting in these transition years to come, and for parents as well. And I hope if you have questions about this, if you're a parent and your kids are going through this and you'd like us to look at some of the questions that you have, then send those to us here at St. Andrews. We would love to experience that alongside of you. So you can always email us at sgreenwald@saokc.org or dabennett@saokc.org as well. And friends, we'd love to see you here on site with us at St. Andrews any Sunday morning, 8:15, 9:30, or 10:50. You can always watch us on Facebook Live and YouTube Live as well at 8:15 and 10:50. Hope that you are enjoying your week. Hope that you do enjoy beautiful weather. Remember to stay grounded in the Word of God and don't neglect your prayer time this week. And we want you to know how much we care about you and how glad we are that you're listening. Be blessed.